So yesterday here on Bulldog Live, I was talking about how the DOE website has not been updated in quite some time with public scoping comments, and it's it's a mess. You know, Brian Mills, the contact person at the U.S. Department of Energy, said 8 weeks ago that he'd fix it. Hasn't been fixed. Asked him last week with a follow-up. We're working on it. And that was it. That was the response. It's just great. So it makes you wonder what is happening with this Northern Pass project overall. Well, yeah, we've been largely in a holding pattern for some time, waiting for them to come up with this magical new route through the North Country that Public Service says that they were going to abandon. But nobody knows for sure. Nobody really does. And there's still a lot of talks and negotiations. And yes, a couple of landowners have sold out in recent weeks and months. But they still don't have what they need just yet. However, they are trying to tell us that, well, we should have a new route to announce in August. But even if they do, let's just assume that they have this new route figured out. They have all the cooperation of the landowners that, you know, they're going to, you know, put their PR spin machine on. They just keep adding zeros to the checks. You know, does that solve all the underlying problems that we have been talking about for the past year and a half on the Northern Pass project? Well, Christophe Courchain is an attorney with the Conservation Law Foundation, and he joins us now here on Bulldog Live to talk about just that. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Brian. Thanks for having me on again.
Good to see you again. And the New Hampshire tour for Seeking the Kern is now done. I think last week was the last showings, right?
That's right. There was a showing in Colebrook and in Bethlehem, and you know, there was a great turnout of people, especially in Bethlehem, to, you know, an area that hadn't had a chance to see the film yet. And you know, that the film's message, which was all about what are the impacts of this power that we're you know, that the utilities are trying so desperately to bring down. You know, mm-hmm. what does this mean in Quebec? And that message really got through to people who are, you know, looking at this issue in a whole new way.
Well, the last time we had you here, you brought Nikolai Boisclair in to talk about it when it was showing in Concord. And as I told my listeners, it was a great movie. It was one of the best that I've seen. And I really think people need to see it. If they haven't seen it yet, just Google Seeking the Current, and it's good.
Yep, you can see it by buying the DVD. That's great, mm-hmm. supporting that project. Or yep. you can stream it. Or if you're in the Bethlehem area, for example, they put it at the Littleton Public Library, so you can You can go take it out and check it out. It's definitely, you know, it's not something that has been discussed, except perhaps on your show and as part of our outreach efforts to try to raise awareness about this. It's an underlying issue, but it hasn't received a lot of media play, and certainly the proponents of the project don't really want to talk about it.
So. No, they do not. And in fact, I ran into John Harrigan a couple of weeks ago when I was up at the auction at the Balsams, ran into him, and he and I got talking, and he just started right into this. He goes, "This isn't clean green power." I said, "Tell me about it, John." So, but as we look into whatever this new route could be for Northern Pass through Coos County and maybe even along most of the existing right-of-ways, there's still a lot of shortcomings of this project altogether that whatever route is chosen does not solve.
No, that's true. I mean, the first point about this new route that they're talking about, it is solely about the 40 miles they need for a new corridor in the far northern part of New Hampshire. It does not change anything about the southern 140 miles of the project, mm-hmm. including really some of the parts of the route that inspired so much worry and concern through the White Mountain National Forest. Nothing's changed about that.
Right.
Through the Concord area, nothing's changed about that. It's really the same plan that you know landed like a lead balloon last year with this, you know, potential small portion being basically a route that they can claim has landowner support.
Right. Well, that's where I said that PR spin machine will be in high gear on that
one. And that's really the only thing they seem to have been working on. So thinking about how that's such a lost opportunity, you know, the past 18 months, where you had this project come on the scene in October 2010, and, you know, ever since, it's kind of been a drumbeat towards a preferred outcome on the part of the utility. Instead of what should have been...
Applicant-driven process, which, we're told.
Yes, it should have been a public conversation about what makes sense, if anything. Maybe there isn't a need for the power.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is a need or there's a reason for it, let's figure out the best way to do it that, you know, and build a public consensus around that with open meetings and discussions. Instead, we have, you know, since last April, it's been a closed door land negotiation process. So
negotiation process that those landowners are not allowed to talk about, because that is a term in the purchase and sales agreements. They don't want people talking to people like me.
And it's a, you know, I think I'm, you know, hesitant to use as strong a language as I feel I need to at this point, because I'm an attorney and we try to be cautious about these things.
Yes.
But this type of approach of just taking it behind closed doors really shows a contempt for the public process, I think. It really, you know,
that money is everything to these folks.
And so what we have is a project that is going to be heavily reliant on these new reservoirs, which were featured in Seeking the Current. New projects that don't make economic sense for Quebec and don't necessarily and certainly have huge impacts in Canada. That, you know, ultimately, you know, the reason that this project is supposedly so great is that it will, it's pitched as being a climate solution, that it will reduce our carbon emissions here in New England. And as, you know, as we've explored on this program and, you know, in the past, it is not a climate solution, especially in the short term, which is, of course, when we need the climate solutions.
Well, I've learned a lot from you about how the carbon dioxide emissions from drowning the forests, you know, that there's something there. You can talk about mercury buildup in the ground and especially in those flooded lands and what that could do to the waters. You have that. And then if you want to talk about the cost of cheap power, so to speak, natural gas is giving them a run for their money right about now.
No, so. You're absolutely right. If you look at reduced emissions, it's not there with the current proposal. If you look at reduced rates for PS&H customers who have to live with the power lines, the reduced rates aren't there. It looks like, in fact, the perverse effect of this project is it'll increase PS&H customers' rates. and so you look at these supposed benefits and you go down the line and they just don't hold up. They just don't hold up to scrutiny. So we could have had a process over the last 18 months where we had an open dialogue and there was a lot of alternatives on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have figured out which alternative would result in benefits for ratepayers, which alternative would preserve these special places in New Hampshire that everyone cares so much about,
yep.
And you know what would actually result in environmental benefits for the climate, and you know what would move the region in an appropriate clean energy direction. There could be a role for hydropower, but we really don't know that because we haven't had this, you know, process,
yes.
which a lot of us clamored for at the very beginning and have tried to continue to ask for. Unfortunately, the applicants against it. It's not within the four corners of what the Department of Energy typically does, so they've stonewalled. And similarly here in the state, where the legislature, you know, made an appropriate decision on eminent domain to keep,
yep.
To keep this project from having access to that type of power. But beyond that, the legislative dialogue on the other issues has really been stymied by the fact that the legislature apparently feels that it's done its job and everything else is hunky-dory about the state process. So we have these outstanding issues which have not been addressed, and no new route is going to do anything about
them. Yeah, that's true too. It's not going to address for other imported electricity projects that will be proposed in the future. That's already been mapped out. I mean, people just don't realize that most of the state of New Hampshire has already been mapped out.
It's really, there's a long-term strategy on the part of Quebec, which I think we've also discussed in the past. And, you know, this is a strategy to bring you know, to find new markets for these new projects that they're building.
Mm-hmm.
Without necessarily, you know, Quebec taking all the appropriate efforts to invest in energy efficiency and the alternatives that they have. So instead, they want to be able to sell this power they're generating for, you know, unclear reasons. And they want to sell it, and they want to sell it into high-priced markets like New England. And there's pressure. There's pressure to bring that power from far northern Quebec. And also, you know, there's also pressure to bring renewable power from northern New England down to the places that need the power in southern New England. So there's all this pressure. There's all this, there's a need for a strategy around transmission projects so that, you know, we're not developing a map that's just crisscrossed by lots of private projects.
Right.
That are ultimately wasteful, you know, and duplicative and perhaps not all needed. And you create the situation where a lot of communities are being impacted. The benefits to those communities aren't clear or they're non-existent. And that's a real failure of public policy.
Sure. Christophe Courchain joining us from the Conservation Law Foundation. CLF.org is their website. One of the things that the legislature did do in that eminent domain bill was to create a study committee to look at using existing transportation corridors, burying the lines and the like. And there was Senate Bill 361 that did pass both chambers. I'm not sure if that's on the governor's desk just yet. Or where that is, but that would do the same type of thing.
I mean, that is a really positive development that the legislature passed, and you know that type of commission is going to look very, very hard at, you know, one type of alternative, which to us seems to have a lot of merit. Well,
Northeast Energy Link is showing us just that, and their proposal, this would be bringing wind power from Maine down into central and southern New England via an underground transmission line that would be buried along, say, Interstate 95 would be the majority of that route. That proposal changed the entire dynamic and changed the discussion so that we start doing these studies into looking at, can we do that along 93? Can we do that along railroad beds? Which, judging by the response I've gotten from the listeners, that makes perfect sense to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a reasonable alternative, and mm-hmm. We really, you know, I think the commission process is a good one to really ventilate the feasibility of this. You know, the only trouble is that commission will deliver its findings by December, and it will really be up to the next session to have to you know, confront how that process might be designed.
With the potential for a different makeup of the legislature, perhaps. I mean, nobody knows. I mean, no future legislature is going to be bound by the recommendations of this study commission.
And so it was a wise step, but there's definitely a lost opportunity in terms of this session. And, you know, we're hopeful that commission will produce some good results, produce a good report, and that it will be in time to affect the process around the Northern Pass project.
Exactly. And, you know, whatever this does, it's all ignoring the local opposition to this project, where every town along the route that has had a chance to vote on this has said no to the Northern Pass project, and even a couple more towns adding their voice to the opposition at this year's town meetings, and some even taking it a step further in their rights-based ordinances ideas, too.
No, I think that when you have local governments and local elected bodies and local legislative bodies of regular citizens coming together and making a similar judgment, that should have considerable weight, both not only in the context of any state process that we're talking about, but it should have weight with the federal regulators, and it should really fundamentally have weight with the utility executives, you know, at a company that's called Public Service of New Hampshire. It should really matter to them that these communities have raised their voice in opposition to the current proposal. But apparently, if you're south of Groveton, you're a special interest. You're really marginal from the perspective of this utility. You're standing in the way of progress or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are communities that, you know, should be respected. They may not be, you know, they may not have a final say mm-hmm. on this project under state or federal law, but their input should be helping to shape the way this project goes. And it's clear that it hasn't been.
Exactly. 1-866-823-1077. Christoph Corshane joining us from the Conservation Law Foundation. I need to take a time out here. We can take some more questions from listeners, perhaps, and then we'll have you talk about some of the more specific environmental concerns that you would have, regardless new route, or if they just go ahead and say, okay, here's our original proposal again. Bulldog Live continues on the Pulse.